4 CBA Mobile.
Check says mobile listening.
Is that you, Patrick, KB4 CBA?
No, sir. Name here is Dave. Calls are KB2 HXS.
Name here is David, and good to meet up with you there on T-Meters FM. So what are you up to?
Good, like usual. Nah, I just dropped off a guitar amp to be worked on over here in Greer, or actually Taylor's, I guess. Heading back to the house.
I live in Taylor's. Where is the place you get your guitar worked on?
Well, it's actually the amp. The gentleman's company's name is Amp Works. Fellow's name is Lynn. He's right over here.
In Rochester, would it?
It would.
Let's go with him. He's crazy.
I hope that's a good thing.
Yeah, he's a nut, but he knows his stuff. He used to work for Pagnell. But he was writing songs, and he gave me a clarinet part to play, and while we were warming up in band class, he played the trombone, he'd start playing his part, and then I'd start playing mine, and he'd just start laughing, because nobody else knew what we were doing.
He'd come recommended by my bass player, so I went with it.
I ran into a friend of mine that, he redid several of my guitars for me, just got the intonation perfect, and got the strings a little lower. These are acoustic guitars, a little lower to the fretboard. It makes it play more like an electric, and by lowering the action and without getting any string pinging without changing the intonation any. But it sure plays a lot better, and of course I play electric too, but I don't think I've had him work on any of those. I think I've done those myself.
I'm mainly an electric guitar player. I've got a few Les Pauls. I had to drop off. I have a bass amp that I use to, when I did live sound, I have a Mark Bass. He's going to take a look at Mark Bass, bass amp rather. And I brought over my my Fender Blues Jr. To do a little cleanup work on it, replace a few filter capacitors in it, and just get it right.
Hello, Fender guitar amp. Is a, I think it's a Deluxe 65. It's nothing fancy. It's got a couple of channels. It's got reverb and overdrive and all that. And bought it from a guy for $75. He said it really didn't work good. And all it was the knobs needed cleaning. The internals. And so I got the spray stuff and cleaned all those out and sprayed them down real good, worked them left and right off, real good. Amp works perfectly now. I mean, it sounds like a brand new one. I was really amazed.
Got that stuff too. It's electronic spray. I can't think of the name of it right now, but yeah, I use it on my guitars, I use it on my mixing board and all kinds of stuff to keep everything clean and lubricated. But yeah, he's going to work on it for about a week or so, and like I say, he's going to replace the big filter caps in there and a couple little components just to bring it back into spec, and probably be sounding pretty darn good when it gets done.
Good. Well, listen, I'm in the garage, and there's somebody just pulled in here in a truck. I don't know what he wants, but I guess I better get out and see. So have a good afternoon. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you later. KB4 CPA.
Very good, sir. KB4 CPA, KB2 HXS.
In W.
Uh-oh.
Hey, there goes the neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, what's up, Jimmy?
Route. Coming up on Main Street at Taylor's here shortly.
Yeah, Lynn says he's going to hang on to my amp for about a week or so. We're going to change a few components out and get it right, and I'm sure it'll sound just fine.
Old Lynn, he's cool. He's an electronic genius. His daddy was, so he inherited it.
Tell me of a little story from way back in the day of said VCR tape machine or something.
Yeah, we've worked on a few of them together.
Yeah, I heard.
But it used to get hold of sign transformers, neon type things, you know. Put about 100,000 volts out secondary and 110 going in. I saw he had made a Jacob's ladder out of it. It'd, you know, start arcing down there at the bottom and then go up, look like a Frankenstein movie or something. I told him, I said, I want one of those. So he gave me a great old big one. I put two copper rods on it. Had that thing going in the room, going about 3 foot tall. Next thing you know, I start getting lightheaded. Come find out, he was putting so much ozone in there, it was swapping out the oxygen.
Oh my God. Jimmy. That's funny. I tell you, something I'd like to futz around with would be, you ever hear with Theremin?
Bell, the name
that. If you ever watched that movie, The Song Remains the Same, Jimmy Page plays one. And I'm not exactly sure how it works, but it's a box. It's got some kind of receiver circuit in it with an antenna. And when you move your hand closer to the antenna, depending on where you put your hand on the antenna, it's kind of controls the pitch. And it, you know, you plug it into an amp and stuff, and pretty wild old device.
What are you talking about now? I've only seen them on TV. It goes, it makes this weird noise. And if you're good with it, you can make a joyful noise.
My wife wanted me to get one, or I have one saved in my cart on Amazon. So I can get one lickety-split, no problem. And then I just, you know, mount it onto a mic stand or something and, you know, have a small amp in the house and let her play with it and see what happens.
It looks like you're playing a harp. You put it out in front of you, put a hand on each side of it. Oh, yeah, you can make some cool songs or, you know, add it to some songs and make it sound pretty neat.
Yeah, it'd be kind of a fun device to play with, I guess, huh?
Songs that it might go with.
What the heck?
And there, and I come find out on the other frequency. Columbia boys. Yeah. All right, I'm coming up on 29 here. Hey, where are you sitting in the parking lot?
Oh, I'm out towards the end here. I'm pretty much all by myself. You can't miss me.
Just look for the oldest dog in the parking lot, huh?
Yeah, that's me. Well, which way? Are you coming in off the side or are you coming off of 29?
Yeah, from the red light up here off of 29.
Well, when you come straight in, you'll see me.
I'm just about there. I'm waiting on the thing to change. N4MMW Mobile.
KB2HXS Stationary Mobile.
Plotting today, David, in 0TR.
You sitting here in the parking lot, usually out and about.
We're headed down to Clemson Eye Center to get Bernice's eyes checked back up. She had cataract surgery yesterday, and they always like to look at them the next day.
With you here in a minute. N4MMW Mobile.
Okie doke, and 0TR clear.
4KWJ. K4KWJ, monitoring. N4DJC.
Good afternoon, Jerry. Let me turn this radio down in here. How you doing today?
Well, Tom, just had a good end to the landfill center or whatever they call it. It's a garbage dump to us, but had to get in and get rid of some stuff. Got back home. We don't have anywhere else to go today. We were thinking about stopping by and get us a little carry out or something, but we decided not to. We're going to eat in today again. But how are you doing today?
I went to a 6-month checkup this morning. Everything came out good. And he didn't find the Fountain of Youth solution for me, but everything else checked okay. Then I'm taking Bernice to Clemson Eye to get her eyes rechecked. She had cataract surgery yesterday, and they always like to see you back the next day and examine them and make sure everything's going all right.
Yeah, well, I know at some point in time I'll have to have the same thing of mine are not bad yet, but they probably will be. They said they were last. They said they were there, but they weren't, you know, weren't bad yet. So hoping there'll be a few more years before I have to have anything else done. But yeah, we got to have our checkups done in April, so we have to get through the blood work and that sort of thing. They don't usually do an X-ray and an EKG with me for my yearly, but they're going to do it this year. The last time I had EKG, I think everything was okay. And hope everything will be this time as well.
I'm going to stumble and fall on my EKGs, and then I tell them, well, I got a left bundle branch block, and something to do with the electrical fields, but it ain't there anymore.
You'd think that they would put a note or something in your files or something like that, so they know what they're looking at. But they seem to be surprised. You have to be proactive on your own health and be able to tell them. You have to keep your own records, I guess, and tell them what to look for and what not to look for. I guess, Tom.
It seems like some of them notice it, and some of them don't, but most of them don't. And that one trace is missing. And don't ask me how it still works, but it works. Oh, shoot. Well, I got an echocardiogram coming up and probably a chemical stress test coming up after that. And that's the one I don't like. Echo's fine. That chemical stress, I just don't like it.
My mother was having her trouble with her heart back in 2003 or 4. She'd had one heart attack previous back in 87, but she had another one in 2003 or 2004 and had to put a stent in that time. They weren't putting stents in when she had in 87, and she was in her 90s then, but we took her to Emory and actually, the guy did her first one, did her second one. He was still there. He was head of cardiology at Emory, and he said he did. The doctors and her regular doctor didn't think she'd be able to handle it. He said, yeah, she'll be fine. And she went through it just fine. And I wouldn't put a pacemaker in. She didn't want one. And me, and I tell you one thing, I think it would have given her a lot, given her much more longevity. She lived to 97, but I think she would have been better off with a pacemaker, but she didn't want one. And then by the time she decided she wanted one, nobody put one in. N4DJC Friday.
CR Mobile. That's kind of funny in a way. 97. Wow. Yeah, they told me, 10 or so years ago when I got that congestive heart failure so bad that in about 10 years I'd have to have one. But so far, knock on wood, I haven't. They said, yeah, that and the defibrillator. But I'll pass on that as long as I can. And it's been holding up pretty good. Because a lot of them, when they get that, it's 5 years and you're out. And that means you don't come back. But mine hadn't degenerated. It actually regenerated back up quite a ways, but not normal by any means. Well, I'm just thankful to be upright and mobile. Well, it's kind of sprinkling fairly heavy out here. We just turned off of White Hampton. What's the street, Bruce? Edwards Mill Road. And we're headed down there. I hope they don't keep her in there too long. I've been getting some leg cramps from sitting too much. Whenever it's where you can't get outside, I don't get as much exercise.
Me either. Neither one of us. I actually got outside yesterday and trimmed a few bushes of saplings coming up in the on the lot next door. When I went out there, I've got one of these compound cutters. I call it a lopper, but it's a ratchet pruner thing, and it's got long handles on it. They'll cut a branch up to about an inch and a half in diameter. You just ratchet it on down. So I cut those as close as I could to the ground. But I don't like digging around those leaves out there when it's warm, because I don't want to meet up with a copperhead 5 inches away from my hand or anything like that. But I got that cleaned out a little bit yesterday. I got more today. I just try to keep that part of the lot, that part of the vacant lot, cleared off so it doesn't grow back up again. But when the weather's good, I like to get out. But like now, I'm not inside exercise person. I may walk up down the stairs 4 or 5 times a day, but I just don't like doing exercises inside.
In general, CR. We got a recumbent bicycle and one of those treadmills downstairs, and Bernice tries to get me to use it, but I don't like it. It never seems to move anywhere.
Treadmills make good clothes hangers, though, Tom.
It's hanging on it now, and there's two blowers on there for blowing leaves. And my little rubbers for going out in the chicken pen. I'd have to move all that in order to be able to run it. Bernice will walk on that now and then, but she hadn't lately. She ain't had time, she says. That's about as good an excuse as I told the doctor this morning. The reason I gained weight is because I had too many clothes. He said, you got too many clothes on. I said, that's it.
Went in the mall in here in Anderson, walking in the mornings for a long time until this COVID thing. We try to go 3 days a week and walk a mile or so. The neighborhood here would be good, but they got so many sweet gums out there. We both already fallen once out there, and I said, I just don't want to take another tumble, so we avoid keep walking in the neighborhood now. I'd rather walk inside. They do have a nice walking track down there at the Ann Med Center. It's a mile or so from us, but it's a pretty nice walk. We might try that again when the weather gets nice and stays nice.
Those sweet gum balls, they just suck. I'm telling you, you can really bust your patootie when you walk on those things. We had one back up in Kansas, and they were just a pain. Boy, the roads ain't getting any better out here, Jerry. The potholes, they can't keep up with them.
I don't know why they do the way they do with those things. We've got a couple here on Brown Road near Sam's that just keep, they just can't seem to fix them and stay fixed. When I was working in the textile business, I worked for one company. We made the reinforcement that goes in the It goes in, it's called a geotextile. It goes in, you put in the concrete or whatever it is to patch them, and it won't wash out then. But they just put the, my daddy always called it plant mix. It's just, you know, just asphalt. As soon as it freezes, the water gets to it, you know, it just washes out. They can fix them permanently, but they just don't do it. And I don't know why that is. I guess that's to keep the DOT crews occupied, I suppose.
It gets washed out as quick as they put it in, just about, if it's a heavily traveled road. And most of the roads we travel on are pretty heavily traveled. And now they're building two more dishes up north of us, so that'll mean even more funding games with the traffic. And they haven't done anything but Highway 101 up there. Well, I talked to Patrick several times this morning. And enjoyed that. He was out making calls. He's got that tool truck. And he's a knowledgeable young man, I'll tell you. He's got technical degrees in automotive technology and pretty smart and kind of fun to talk to. You always learn something from somebody.
At that time, Tommy, I spoke to Patrick numerous times. He's a good guy, and very up to date on what's going on in the automotive industry. Go get her too on top of that. But I'm gonna head back downstairs here. I think my wife's she's fixing a pizza up here in a little bit, and hopefully it's gonna be ready in a while. I'm a little hungry. It's a little late for us to be eating, but we got tied up with some other stuff. But hope Bernice's follow up turns out well. Hope you both are doing well. Be careful out there. N02RN4DJC, clear after you.
Okay, Jerry, that worked out good. We're pulling up to Pelham Roads. You know, there's lots of traffic here. Enjoy the pizza, 73s, and we'll catch you down the line. N4DJC, N02R is now clear in surety. N02R, mobile.
K4KWJ.
KWJ, good afternoon. My name is Tom. I'm located in Greer.
My name is Jason. It's Juliet Alpha Sierra Oscar November, and I was just calling up that way to see if I can get into this repeater. I'm in Franklin County, Georgia, on the western side of the county, almost at Banks County.
I'm an immigrant from Kansas about 10, 11 years ago, Jason. So I don't know exactly where that's at unless you reference Atlanta. But you're just as clear as a bell up here today. Full quieting.
I was hoping that would be the case. I'm not far into Georgia from South Carolina. I'm at exit 160 on 95, so almost 20 miles into Georgia from the Carolina line.
Well, our kids are headed down there sometime today. I don't know exactly when, but pretty quick. They're going to Atlanta for a ball game, which has probably been canceled, the grandson. And then they're going to hop a plane to Aruba, P-40.
Aruba will be a nice place to go. I guess I'm still surprised everybody's not COVID scared, but I think it's time that everybody kind of gets over that one and goes back to their vacation time. I've always wanted to go to a place like Aruba or, you know, one of the other islands down that way.
I did when I was younger. I'm 73 now, Jason, and they've worked very hard. Both of them are engineers and daughter and son-in-law, and they've both been vaccinated, so that helps a lot. And the grandkids need a break, too. And they're on spring break, I think. And they wanted to go someplace where there wasn't huge crowds like Myrtle Beach and Charleston, places like that. So I doubt if it's that crowded down there. It's about 2,500 miles. And that's where P-40 Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, all of them are at with their big mega stations. War station, I don't know which it is. My friend ND7J Bob and N4IQ are going to go down there one of these days and work one of the big contests.
Well, Well, I'm sure that would be quite fun, quite the adventure anyway. I've always kind of wanted to get into some of that contest and stuff. Soda and poda. But someday I'd like to get into it. I haven't been a ham very long. I guess I got my tech license, I guess, back in July of 2020.
I'd start somewhere. I got my tech license in 1993, and it took me about a year to work up to that 20 words a minute for the extra class, and got that, and been there ever since, and that's my initials, my call sign. My name's Tom Rouse, and so it's N0TR, so I got very lucky there. Ironically, I had some friends in 5SD was Steve Draper, and K0PR was Phil Rankin, so it does happen occasionally, but very rare anymore.
Yeah, I got myself a vanity call, but it's kind of hard to explain, kind of more of a, for me, kind of call. I like the initial calls, but my initials were already taken.
One night on 444.8, there was a gentleman jumped in there about 10:30. And I actually had a handy talkie by my bed, and I was talking to a friend locally, and he jumped in from over at Rolla School of Mines over in Missouri, and it was pretty good ways over there from Pittsburgh, Kansas, and so there was some tropospheric ducting, and it was just as clear as a bell. And he said, when he jumped in, he didn't identify, and he says, "You got my call sign." And his initials were TR. And we talked for, 5, 6, 7 minutes, and blip, it was gone.
Vanity calls are sometimes hard to get a hold of, and I guess even more so now that the FCC is going to charge $35 when you swap to get a vanity call. But I was looking for my initials, and they were taken on the kilo and the whiskey. 4 versions of it, so I just decided on one that involved my initials and my wife's initials, and kind of be happy with that.
This is N0TR. There goes a light piper taking off in this. Man, he must have some instrument hours. I don't believe I'd want to be in that up there today. Yeah, it is. I work CW probably 98% compared to sideband. And so I needed a shorter call because my first call was November 0, Zulu Hotel Bravo. And I'll never forget trying to break into the pile up on Heard Island way back then using a CW call that long. And this one's worked out good. There's an app where you can go, and I know my friend NY4G, who, by the way, does a lot of summits on the air and is really great at it, Ariel. And it rates your call list to CW calls. There are people here that think they got great CW calls that really don't. I didn't get mine for that purpose other than I wanted a short call. But as far as N0TR goes, I don't know where that rates in. I always thought N4EE would be great, you know, because it'd be dotted and and that would be it.
Pretty good call sign. There's a few of them out there that one of the guys on local repeater. His last 3 are FOX and then Fox. I always thought his was pretty cool.
Diddy da di da 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 diddy da. That wouldn't be fast. And that all depends on the guy behind the key, really.
Yeah, I don't know that I could type it out very fast anyway. I'm still trying to learn all that Morse stuff. I guess you probably did yours back when they required you to know Morse.
up the tech license, nothing was required. The tech plus was 5 words a minute. I took the general license, went back later and took the code for 13 words a minute. And then I took the advanced class, which was the hardest test, all electronics. And then I took the extra class, which required 20 words a minute. And I just about give up on that. And I said, if I ever get it, I'll never use this cockeyed stuff again. Yeah, I lied. I enjoy it to the fullest. It's the greatest mode out there as far as I'm concerned.
Maybe one of the older modes, too, I guess. But I always like to see when folks are doing it. I'm still trying to grasp it myself, but maybe one day I'm fairly new, so maybe one day I can actually learn all of it. They probably should still require it to get your tech and general stuff. That way it forces somebody to learn it like me.
There's no requirements for the code anymore. They dropped it internationally. But I can tell you this. I learned mine through audio tapes, and I just set the tape recorder out in my garage in the middle of the floor, and I had to walk around it, and I like things squared away and in their place, and it just drove me nuts. But my rule was I didn't move that boom box until I practiced 30 minutes a day, and it worked. And I got a friend up before DJW, and he actually learned his from tapes in the car, and I think he made his own program. He's by far qualified to do that, put it that way. And it all amounts to elbow grease. I've heard every excuse in the world. I was a volunteer examiner for years, and there's no excuse I haven't heard for guys wanting me to pass them or get them a medical deferment. I even had one guy say he had heart disease, and that's the reason he couldn't do Morse code. But I can give you some other reasons that you'd really get a laugh out of. It's all, if it's worth having, it's worth working for. And it is work, and it's all elbow grease. And there are a few out there that just can't do it. But most of them just aren't willing to put in the time, and I understand that.
I understand it, but don't tell stories about it if you're not willing to do it. Just say you're not willing to do it. That's been my excuse so far. The reason I haven't learned Morse is just I haven't done it. There's no other reason just other than I just haven't. But I made myself get my tech thing, or I wouldn't have ever really achieved it. Every night I sat down for 30 minutes and used one of the apps on the phone. Kind of did it while the kids and the wife were doing their bath thing, where I had some time to myself, and went through several little practice tests on the app, and eventually just got good at it.
And I respect somebody that just says, I can't do it because I don't want to do it, more than I do these people that say, well, I can't do it, I can't hear it, and I can't do it. Well, I couldn't either, and I hated it with a passion. But it just takes a lot of work. It's kind of like, having a license as a skin diver for the Roto-Rooter. That wouldn't be pleasant at all, but if it fed your family, you'd do it.
That's right. I appreciate the conversation and coming back. I do have to go back to work now. I was just trying to see if I could hit this repeater, and according to my smart Google here, it says this repeater is 86 miles from me, so I think that's going to be almost the furthest repeater that I've tried to reach. I got one day that was 124 miles out, so I think it was that repeater didn't have near the footprint. I think it's going to be more periodic. I think this will be very consistent.
Repeater and a wonderful bunch of guys on here. It's 3,500 feet up on Caesar's Head on the North Carolina-South Carolina line, Jason. Anyways, you take care and get back to work and pay my Social Security, as I always say. It'll catch you down the line. Pleasure's all mine. This is N0TR. Clear with your final.
You have a good day, and I hope to frequent this repeater a little bit more often now that I know I can get into it. But I do hope you have a great day. K4KWJ, clear.
N0TR, this is N0FMD.
Fox Mike Delta. This is in 0TR. Good afternoon. Name's Tom.
Afternoon to you, Tom. The name's Steve. We've spoken on occasion, although it's been a while back. How's my signal coming into the repeater, by the way?
There's a problem today, I think. It's a little choppy. I heard somebody key in the mic several times there with no joy on the audio, but I'm hearing you okay on that last transmission.
Well, I'm located here in Piedmont, so I should be hitting the repeater fairly well. I'm running a Radio Shack mobile unit. I think it's 40 watts of on the output, so I should be hitting it pretty clear.
Be your position also, and the weather. There's quite a bit of popcorn in there, but you're very copyable today.
You good? Yeah, I've been monitoring the radio here. I'm in the shop just kind of puttering around and working on a few things. Happen to flip the radio on and heard you and previous caller talking about call signs.
This is M0TR Mobile. Just out here waiting on the wife. She's in getting her eye examined after they did cataract surgery on one. And give me your name again on the next go-around. I'm 73, and sometimes I forget. But, yeah, call signs were a lot easier to change them back then, I think. We had to choose 25 calls, and then they picked one out that you got. And so I got very lucky.
Here again is Steve, and my daughter did it the hard way. She got her ham license, oh, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago. Her call sign is KC0AEG Alpha Echo George. At the time, it didn't match her initials, but then she got hooked up with a guy and ended up marrying him. His last name ended up starting with a G, so now she has a what would be considered a vanity call sign, KC0AEG. She did it the hard way, though.
It truly was considerably harder with learning the code. There's no doubt about that. But I wish they'd have kept some of the code for the upper licenses, and they didn't. But, you know, I don't make the rules.
Yeah, I started out as a tech, and then when they did away with the tech, or was it a tech plus? I guess it was a tech plus. They did away with the tech plus and automatically grandfathered in folks to general, and I've been there ever since.
I'd forgotten about that because I did the tech, and then I did the tech plus at 5 words a minute, and then the general required 13, and then the extra required 20.
Back in, well, see, I was 16, so probably 1970, 71, so it's been a while.
Longer than I have. I was going to do it back about then, and the code was just beyond me. I just didn't think I could do it, and all I had was a Radio Shack 33 1/3 RPM record in a straight key from Radio Shack. And I still got that record, by the way. And let me turn this radio down here. I finally met a friend of mine on the radio, and he'd stepped on a landmine in Vietnam and had both eyes blowed out, amongst other things. And I thought, well, if he can be an extra class, so can I. It kind of shamed me into doing it. So I've talked to several people that were sightless on HF, on CW, and it's pretty amazing some of the folks you do talk to on there on CW.
Thinking one day when I get around to it, I'll try and upgrade. I don't have any good excuses right now except just in enjoying retirement and staying busy with a few other projects having nothing to do with ham radio. So we're fairly new to the area, Tom. We moved out here, well, let's see, it'll be 2 years this coming May from Colorado, and enjoying it very much, enjoying the green. Man, it's really greening up out here.
Beautiful. And all the flowering trees and everything down here, it was amazing. When we first moved here, before we moved here, we came down here on vacation. The kids took us up to the nuclear plant up there for Duke. And I got out of the car, and I asked my daughter, I said, well, I thought you didn't have any tornadoes down here. And she said, why do you say that? I said, well, these trees, I said, either there's a lot of radiation by this plant, or else there's a lot of tornadoes, because they don't have any bark on them. I'd never seen a crepe myrtle tree in my life. She got a kick out of that.
Definitely different vegetation out here. I've had to mow the yard twice already, and that's unheard of. Back in Colorado, we'd still be shoveling snow.
Now, in Colorado, was you located? I went out there and worked on a large water plant, the Foothills Water Treatment Plant outside of Denver, and in Littleton, and overseeing the installation of some water valves. And actually, I set the water valves, was my job. I wasn't the overseer of the construction site or nothing. And I enjoyed that. And I went up to Boulder and visited my uncle, and he took me all up in the mountains and everything, and it was just gorgeous. That's God's country, I'll tell you.
Located in Colorado Springs, but my wife had relatives in Denver. Yeah, I think you and I had discussed this before about that water treatment plant. I'm pretty sure I know where it's at, along the foothills west of Denver there, around the Morrison area.
Littleton, I know we had to eat at the golf course out there at the country club, which didn't break my heart coming from Pittsburgh, Kansas, to be eating in a place like that. Well, here's my wife back, and how'd everything check out, Bernice? She checked out okay, and that's great to hear, and so we can get back mobile again. And yes, I remember talking to you now. What was the name again?
Steve.
My wife's not much of a talker. I'm the extrovert, and she's the introvert, Steve. Well, what do you do for occupation, Steve?
I'm from Hewlett-Packard there in Colorado Springs after 25 years.
Oh, wow. Well, the wife and I was in Mountain View, California, and Hewlett-Packard, I think, was starting out pretty young back then, and there was Union Carbide, and oh gosh, I can't remember. Well, it turned out to be there around Sunnyvale, Mountain View. That was the center of development for all the digital world, it seemed like.
I joined Hewlett-Packard. We got, of course, schooled on the origins of the company and the garage in Mountain View, and how Dave Packard and Bill Hewlett started making, I think it was signal generators for Disney out of the garage behind the house, and how Mrs. Packard would bring lunch out to them at lunchtime. And of course, it's grown a lot, changed a lot since then. And zero FMD for ID.
And zero TR. Well, that's a fabulous career. You must be a very smart man, I'll tell you, to work for them. Fairchild was another big one there. And Raytheon, I remember Raytheon when I was in the Pacific, had lots of places out there in the islands. I was trying to think of that island now. It's T two separate islands. Oh, I haven't, you know, the sunspots down in that, I used to be right up on all of those little islands out there, but I can't think of it right now. And I had a friend whose son went out there and actually worked on the water treatment plant there. It'll come to me one of these times. But there was certainly a lot of those startup companies in the Mountain View area.
From the HP plant there in Colorado Springs was, I think, the second facility built by Hewlett Packard outside of California, the first being in Loveland. And then, of course, the second one being the one in Colorado Springs there. So they had quite a history there in Colorado Springs as well. And it was a good company back then. Changed a lot, though, over the years.
I'm glad we moved out of there. I can't imagine what that place would look like now. And it's just unbelievable. California is one place that I just wouldn't want to be. And you know, Mountain View was a nice place to live right then. I lived not far off of the Naval Air Station there at Moffett Field. And could actually ride my bike over there. I didn't, but I could have. It was beautiful up there. But there's, like every place else, there's too many people. Well, we sure love it down here, and the people are fantastic. And met a lot of them on amateur radio, matter of fact, Steve.
Enjoying it very much out here as well. The reason we moved out here from Colorado was to be closer to the daughter and son-in-law and our 7.5-year-old grandson. So we're very much enjoying spending time with them and enjoying the warmer weather, too. N0 FMD.
Raytheon, and it was Kwajalein Island. They had a lot of super-secret radar installations out there during the Vietnam era. But yeah, that's why we moved down here. My wife and my two daughters said, "You're going to move, Dad." And you know, when the War Department speaks, you have a it's not a democracy, it's more of a dictatorship.
Veto power, either.
So, but you know, it's the best decision I ever made in my life, other than marrying my wife for 53 years. And so I really regret admitting this, but they were 100% right on that, Steve.
True, they generally are. Some of us just kind of go along for the ride in 0 FMC.
Headed for tomorrow out of Atlanta if it doesn't get blown away today.
I'm going to have to sign off here. Wife just pulled up with a car full of groceries in the back and as the dictatorship goes, I'm going to have to help her take them inside the house. So, good to speak with you and hope you have a great day. Stay dry, N0 FMD.
Okay, Steve, I really enjoyed it, and the pleasure's all mine, and jump in there anytime. We got a lot more to discuss. Take care. Enjoy FMD. This is N0TR 73.